Christianity is not a life of struggle. That's why God has given us his grace, so that we enjoy a free flow of his kingdom.
Join Prophet Simon Thomas of Glory Carriers Ministry International as he brings you the divine word of God in its simplicity.
Thank you, Holy Spirit. So let's just give a briefing of what we said last week for some of you who are hearing the topic for the first time. We spoke about the resultant effect of one encountering the glory of God. The resultant effect. So if you encounter the glory of God, what will be the resultant effect? Are we together? And just to give you an idea, let's see what the glory of God means. That will continue with some of the resultant effect that I didn't talk about last week. We have, if you have been around church, if you've been with us for a while now, we have a program we do every year called Kabod, isn't it? And that is the Hebrew word for the word, the glory of God. In the Greek, the word is doxa, but I refer to Kabod because you all know that we always do that program. So the root word means the weight of God's glory. The weight. The weight of God. The weight of the person of God. All right? So years ago when I was hearing from my spiritual father, he said, it means when you weigh God on his scale, whatever you see, that's the glory of God. He said, take for instance, you weigh God on his scale, whatever you see. So he said, Kabod simply means the weight of his presence. Everything that makes God, God. That's what Kabod means. Kabod means everything that makes God, God. Everything about the presence of God. All right? Are you here?
Yes, sir.
So let's see Hebrews 1 from verse 1. This reminds me of something I was telling someone just 2 days ago. I said, if you don't understand God, you'll be tempted to a point, you know, at a point you'll be tempted to say, God, maybe God does not exist, and people are just confusing themselves. We're watching, you know, I always prefer to watch the scriptures than read the scriptures. So I prefer to watch through a movie. I'll just say, okay, the book of Isaiah, and I'll begin to watch. I prefer that than to read. And I do it a lot. These are my movies, my movie collection in my system, and the books of Isaiah, Paul, you know, the writings of Paul, and etc. Because I'm a pastor, so I have to make that my priority. So we're watching the book of Ezekiel, and I was just trying to look at the people around me, their face in the house, while they were seeing what was happening, how that God was using strange ways to talk to the people of Israel through the life of Ezekiel. At some point, God said he should draw the city of Jerusalem and pour something, cut his hair. I don't know if you have seen that part of scripture. So cut his hair into three parts. This one means this, this one means that. And I'm wondering what people will be thinking in the New Testament, 21st century, they are reading this part of the Bible. Like, what kind of God would say they should carry a knife? His knife will use it to cut your hair and to do that. And strange ways, when he finished, you know, molding just like a toy, Jerusalem, and did all of those things, God said he should sleep at one side because of, for so this, then he should sleep at the other. So, I just started looking at their eyes. I said, what would these people be thinking about this God that we serve? Hallelujah to Jesus. But of course, I knew that that was not how things were supposed to be. So I now said to myself, this is why new prophets in this modern age get things confused because of misunderstanding the Bible. You know, they misunderstand the scriptures and they get themselves confused about how God operates. So you see, I remember recently I heard a prophet saying the Lord said he should leave his hair very long. So he left his hair so long And I was trying to relate it with some things that happened in the Bible with a few prophets or one of the prophets. So I was just smiling. I said, probably he read that part of scripture and God inspired that he should leave his hair also. Hallelujah to Jesus. So I was just laughing. Then, and of course, he looks so proud. You can't even correct that kind of person. And, you know, some people say, you know, I've heard prophets say, prophets are strange people. You know, in fact, I saw one recently. They say prophets don't attend pastoral minister training because they are strange beings. And I began to laugh because they are confusing themselves. But if you look at this part of scripture, can we read together? Maybe in the Amplified rendition, it will sound better. Let's read together. We'll all read together. The Amplified rendition, not the classic. Let's read together. I want to read. God heavens. So God in sundry times, maybe in the NKJV now, so we'll compare. NKJV. You've seen this one. God who at various times, in the old KJV says in sundry times, but this is better. God who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets. You see that? And why did he speak to them in, you know, by various ways now? This is what the Bible means, not even suggesting that God used various means to speak to them because there is no way for them to understand the speakings of God plainly at that time. Why? They were lacking the Holy Spirit. There was no way the Holy Spirit would be in any individual at that time. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? Are you guys here tonight?
Yes,
all right. So the Holy Ghost was not in anybody. Nobody was filled with the Holy Spirit before the coming of Jesus. It was after the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus that we were qualified, accepted in the beloved to be qualified, you know, to receive in the presence of the Holy Spirit. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? It was after Jesus resurrected that Paul began to say things like, don't you know that your body are what? The temples of the Holy Spirit. And you see, that was a promise. You know, the proof that you are sons is that the presence of the Holy Spirit is in you. The Holy Ghost is on your inside. That's a proof that you are a son of the living God. And there is no way you would have been affirmed a son except Jesus was dead, buried, and what? Resurrected for you. So because there was no death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus yet, at that time Jesus had not come yet, nobody was filled with the Holy Spirit. And so the Father had to speak to them not in plain terms. He had to use some, you know, should I call it, is it figures of speech, I will call it all, some allegories to speak to the prophets, or to speak to people through the prophets. Are we together? So we saw things like even water baptism, all right, which was one of the last religious function in the Old Testament, you know, that ushered in the coming of Christ. And you know why that had to happen? I've explained that several times, and that's why I always prefer you go to our Bible schools, you know, School of Glory and School of Ministry. We had explained several times how that in John 1, maybe we'll do it for the sake of the people listening to me for the first time, else you go back confused and the devil will steal the word. Are we together? So let me just try to do it. John 1, give me that part of scripture, verse, is it 30 what? 28. Let's see from verse 28. These things were done in what? Beyond what? Where John was what? All right, so let's see the next part of scripture. The next day John saw Jesus coming towards him and said, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. All right, but you know, we have this assumption that water baptism takes away sin. But you see, John, who was the person that pioneered that, is saying that the one that takes away the sins of the world is the one right there. But the people all this while thought that he was what? Removing sins from people. Through what? Dipping them in water and getting them what? Removed. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? Meanwhile, even John knew that that was not what he was doing. All right? Even though this is more like a shadow that points to Christ. You know, because if anybody be in, he comes out a what? Alright? But John knew that the purpose of baptism was chiefly to reveal Christ toward Israel. And I think it's here verse what? I'm trying to... 32. Let's see verse 32 very fast. And John bore witness saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove and remained upon him. You know, no, let's read from verse 30. I want it to flow very well. This is he of whom I said, after me comes a man who is preferred before me, right? So you see, water baptism was existing. Baptism was existing. But John is saying there's one preferred even before this practice was seen right now. All right? So the order that needed to be was not that somebody should be immersed in water. It's that anybody that is in Christ comes out of what? A new creation. I don't know that you people are getting what I'm trying to say. But this was more like a shadow that is pointing that to Christ at their time, who is to come. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to explain to you? Okay? He said, he's preferred before me, for he was before me. Alright? Jesus and the effect of the word on the believer is existed before water baptism. So when we're saying it now, it's not like a new thing. It is what was supposed to be. But because Christ was not revealed yet, the water baptism had to point to Christ. You know? Alright? From the Old Testament, more like a shadow pointing to Christ, that if Christ comes, this is going to be the effect of anybody that is in Christ. When he gets into Christ, he comes out of the world, a new creation. Because remember, Jesus calls himself the living water. Are we together? Next part of scripture. But there's even a more, you know, important function of, weightier function of baptism to John individually, personally, than for the people. For the people, it was more like, this guy is trying to remove sins from us. But to John, he was looking for something. And you see it here. I did not know him. This is John speaking. And the him there is capital letter, right? He didn't know God through Jesus, who was already on the earth at that time. But that he should be what? Revealed to Israel. Therefore, I came baptizing with water. So why was he baptizing with water? So that Christ be what? Revealed to Israel. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to explain to you? Very important. Next part of scripture. Then it says, and John bore witness saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove and remained upon him. Now, I want that part of scripture, help me media, that says, I did not know him, but for what? Okay, let's still read. And John bore witness saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and he remained upon him. Remember, I've done this, we're not trying to show off, but the Holy Spirit is not a dove, right? He descended in the form of what? A dove. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? I think he says it more better in the... I think here too is very, very clear. I wanted to refer us back to the old KJV, but it's still clear here. The Holy Ghost is not a dove. He came in the form of a dove. I think it's better even in the old KJV, but let's continue. You can check that in your mobile Bible or something, if you have a physical one. Now, verse 33, it says, I did not know him, but he... See, John said, I did not know Jesus. All right? Maybe he knew him as his mother's, whatever. But he actually didn't know who is supposed to be the Messiah, right? He said, I did not know him, but he who sent me, that's God Almighty, to baptize with water, said to me, upon whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, this is he who what? Baptizes with the Holy Ghost. Remember, he had said something before, that this thing I'm doing, there's something that is preferred than this. And it is the baptism of the Spirit. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to explain? That will come through Jesus. Then he said, I don't even know this Jesus. But the one that sent me to baptize with water said, as I'm baptizing with water, if I put this one and nothing happened, and put this one and nothing happened, and put this one, and then I see the Holy Ghost come upon that person and remain. That's the chosen one. And that's when my ministry stops. You guys get what I'm trying to say? So personally for John, he was water baptism was to the end that he Christ be what? Revealed to Israel. But for the people, they thought that John was removing sins from them. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to explain? John knew that the end of his ministry was revelation of Jesus. As Jesus gets revealed to Israel. And that's why when Jesus came there, he said, for scriptures to be fulfilled, for prophecy to be fulfilled, this has to happen. I have to be revealed publicly to Israel. And that's why he went into the water. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to explain? And then the Holy Ghost came upon him in the form of a dove and what? Remained. Now he's revealed to Israel. John is satisfied. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? Well, Pastor, after John revealed Christ to Israel, even the disciples were seen in scriptures doing water baptism. Now, thank God Jesus did not do it. And there's not even there to say thank God. If he did it, we would do it. Alright? He didn't do it. Now, since Jesus did not do it, it simply means it's not supposed to be done as scripture has said now. Alright? Now, a few of the 12, not even all of the 12, did it. You see, when you study theology, one of the things that the teachers will paint your heart is the fact that these people were human beings like you and I. Alright? To make you understand that even though the truth of scripture exists, at a certain point, they didn't believe it. You know, they didn't believe it probably immediately. It took time for some people to believe this truth. And that's why if you look at 1 Corinthians 1, you see that Paul was arguing about baptism with the 12. 1 Corinthians 1, look at Paul now. He said, I thank God. You can put it up for me if you know that part of scripture. He said, I thank God I did not baptize anybody with water except two people. Then I stop. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? You see that? This guy's metamorphosis in Revelation, the 12. Because some sort of, if you remember, in 1 Peter, is it 1 Peter or 2 Peter? I think 2 Peter. You see Peter saying that the writings of our dear brother Paul is a wisdom of the Spirit. He said, but be careful. Because it is possible. Because Paul, you know, Peter admitted that the writings of Paul are quite ambiguous. Beyond the normal. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? He said, but it is a wisdom of the Holy Spirit. This is a wisdom of the Holy Spirit. Yet he said, everybody be careful. Yeah, if not, you will misunderstand it to your spiritual ruin. And what did Paul chiefly teach? The grace of God. Are people misunderstanding the grace of God today? Yes. Nobody taught the grace of God like Paul. So Peter admitted this is truth. Because if you look at the Bible now, I think Romans 6, the tale of Romans 5, you see where scripture spoke about wherever there is sin, grace abides even more. You are not tempted to think that it is good to keep on what? Sinning. Because grace will keep on what? Abiding. But is that what Paul meant? Then he went further to said, he said something like this. He said, am I saying we should keep on sinning so that grace may abide? He understands human beings. Then he said what? God forbid. Then he explains the man that understands grace. He said, a man that understands grace is what I'm about to say. How can us, who are what? Dead to sin, live in sin any longer? That means what I'm saying there is not what you're understanding here. Alright? So now this is the question. Anytime you find yourself dirty, where do you get to? The bedroom. If you find yourself dirty after you've bathed, where do you go to again? The bedroom. So anytime you are dirty, what will change you? The word. If you feel dirty next time, what will change you? The word. If you feel dirty next time, what will change you? The word. So you go to the word to be changed. At the end of you encountering the word, the proof that you have really used the bedroom is that you are clean. So you don't brag with the fact that anytime you are dirty, you get to the bedroom. To what end are you getting to the bedroom? To be more dirtier? And that's why people misunderstand grace. And no matter what you do, it's okay. No, you are misunderstanding Paul. And Peter promised us that. He said, we should be careful, else we'll be destroyed. Because what Paul is saying is truth. The truth had to be said. Because there was legalism being practiced in scripture. And Paul is like, as long as we have wrong understanding of God's word, then we make the grace of God of no effect. That was Paul's stand. And that's why he kept on teaching firmly that people should not misunderstand. Because you see, if you think righteousness comes by the law, it's a problem too. Now, these are two extremes in scripture. Paul was dealing with, for Paul, he was of the opinion that many people are misunderstanding the grace of God. Sorry, they are misunderstanding how that righteousness is attained. He was like, many would think righteousness comes by obeying the law. No, he said you are not, you don't obey the law, you don't act only to be affirmed righteous. That was Paul's stand. Paul's stand was this, that you are righteous via encountering God to live holy. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to explain? And it's true. But Paul, the way he wrote his things now, Peter told us, you know, because according to church history, many of the disciples negated Paul. A few of them. Let's say 70% of them, they negated Paul. But Peter, who is the leader of the church, and thank God he was the leader of the church, he accepted Paul. Because the Bible says Paul went to Peter three days and three nights, explained to Peter his own convictions, and Peter bought into it. And you guys get what I'm trying to explain. And that's why we saw the response of Peter in 2 Peter. But Peter told us to be careful that what he's seen here is truth, but there's a possibility that people will misunderstand it. And it's happening even today. Thank God for what Paul stood for, and thank God for Peter's balance as a leader. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to explain to you now? Very important. Amen. So people will say, okay, if you are a new believer in Christ, we should not kill lambs because Jesus is the lamb that takes away the sins of the world. We agree with that. Nobody will kill a lamb in church. Alright? But why are we not killing lamb but entering water? So why I said that is to say this, that even in today's world, people have read this part of scriptures and will tell you that scripture is progressive. After this part of scripture happened, the disciples in the book of Acts, do you guys get what I'm trying to explain? A few of them still baptize people with water. But did they always baptize people with water? That's the question you should ask yourself. Was there a time that they changed? You say, I don't know. If you don't know, believe the scriptures. The scripture teaches that you are not supposed to baptize anybody with water now that Christ is what? Revealed. Because that does not do anything. That only points to what? Christ. That if anybody now be in Christ, the living water, he comes out a what? A new creation. And that's why Ephesians 5 speaks about the washing of the word. Husband, love your wife as what? Christ loved the church and gave himself for her by making her pure through the washing of the word. So you see, what the illustration for water there, the substitute there, is the word. Why we use water there is to explain the effect of the word in the believer. By the help of the Holy Spirit. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to explain to you now? Nothing has to be done with water for us in Christ Jesus. God has no business with water. He does not need any external factor to make you clean. The only thing he needs to make you clean is his word. And that's why I gave you that historical, you know, illustration with the Greeks. Somebody asked me a question recently. I can't be answering those questions. I think she's watching from Abuja. I wrote the answer with a connection to that. But for the sake of our message, I won't go there. But let me just explain this part so that you get to understand better. I said the Greeks do this. If you want to get married as a man, the woman must not do anything. They believe the woman is just supposed to sit down and watch the man do everything. And that's not a nice thing for Nigerians. Are we together? Because some of us, before we get married, sometimes you are not really financially strong. You are just trying. Do you guys get what I'm trying to say? So you'll be like, honey, how much will you bring for this, our wedding? It happens, you know, and you should understand as a woman, you should give some money. At least do your wedding gown. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? It's not bad. But if the man has the money to do it, do it. Alright? Don't, because of marriage money, don't marry your love. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Make sure you marry your love. Are we together? What's there to make your wedding gown? At least if you bring that one to the table now, you tried. We'll continue afterwards. Alright. So they believe no woman should do anything in the wedding. Nothing. I used to joke those days. I say, if your brother needed a laptop or a car before wedding, the man has to provide it as a prerequisite for that wedding. It was a very tough thing those days. So when people marry those days, they come and they celebrate their strength. Johnson have married. Oh my God. God has been faithful to him. What a strong man. Because for you to marry, Kai, you have money. Can you remember that parable where the king had to give them robes to come for a feast too? In scripture, one parable of the kingdom. Same picture. It shows the king's power and authority and influence. That everybody came to the event with his what? The attire he provided for them. That's how it's supposed to be. Alright? So as the woman is entering the wedding ceremony, The only way the man may be consoled a little bit, if he doesn't mind, is that there is a pocket, some kind of a decorated pocket on the woman's wedding gown. It's more like a design, but it's actually a pocket. And that pocket is for money. The Bible calls it speck or wrinkle in Ephesians 5. Jesus said, for my own bride, which is the church, after I'm done washing her by the word, I don't want her to come into the event with any speck or what? Wrinkle or anything like that. He said, but holy and spotless. That simply means to God, the church is holy because there is no addendum from human reasoning. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? I wish you get what I'm trying to say. But let me just try to finish this part, then come back here again. According to their feast, when the woman gets into the wedding ceremony, she has that designer pocket. And people will be appreciating the man's effort by dropping some money in her designer's pocket as she's entering. Alright? But the sad reality is that when you are done, people will not really talk to you so nicely, even though you tried, because they know what they put in that designer's pocket. Somebody can meet you after the wedding and say, did you see $7,000 inside that thing? Did you see my name? We are married for you. Alright? She is our wife. Are you listening? So, you know, you just see one money, you see, and you won't mind because you truly need the money. You know, like one of my boys recently, he wanted somebody to do an account for him to walk from Nigeria. You know, there's something happening, which I will not say here. I don't know if the people are watching us. And he said, sir, the person said I should be calling him sir. And I said, when we were done setting up the account, we saw $19.60 per hour. And he has to work 6 hours, 8 hours every day. I say, and I say, calculate the $19.60 times 8. He calculated it. I said, this is what you make every day. How many civil servants can collect this in a month? He said, not many, sir. I said, okay. Call him, sir, before and at the end of every conversation. When I check his age, when I check his year of birth, while I was arranging the profile, I said, this man senior you. Huh? He said, yes, sir. I said, call him, sir. If I don't tell you you are a pastor, just say, sir. It has been, yes, sir, sir. Finish him with sir. Yes, don't account for you. What is your problem? So you see, you are entering now. Somebody now puts $12,000. Meanwhile, you are owing like $5,000 for that wedding. They are celebrating your wife and her beauty. You are just watching people that are tricking their hands in that designer pocket. That's your consolation. As long as hands are entering that designer pocket, you're like, wow, you look really beautiful. But if no hand is entering that designer pocket, even though your wife is shining, you know you are finished after that wedding. So some people can brag and say, did you see my name on that $12,000? I know everything here is not worth $5,000, but I know I had to do that. So you go and pay serious homage to that person after the wedding. God said, me, I am God. And when I'm done with your wedding gown, when I'm done arranging what you should wear as righteousness, I will not do any designer's pockets. I don't know that you are getting what I'm trying to say. And God calls that designer pocket the wisdom of man. He said, don't help me arrange my church. Leave my church the way my church is. So that when my church enters for the wedding feast of the Lamb, remember, the second coming is also likened to the wedding feast of the Lamb, where the church will marry her what? A bride. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? He said, my own now should come with no designer's pocket, so that at the end of the feast, I alone get the glory. So he said, wash my church by nothing else except the word of God. You see that now? Not what? Water. For John, baptism was to reveal Jesus to what? Israel. For the people, they felt like it was removing sin. Yet John said, behold, the Lamb of God that what? Takes away the sins of the world. That paints a picture. That right now, whatever I was doing here is not right. See the one that truly can take away sin. So I'm asking a question. Why is it that we are okay with lamb not being slaughtered in church again? We are okay with certain things, but we choose certain things to continue with. The water. Does it make any logical sense before I get into the spirit that anybody that gets into water comes out and is changed? And how many of you were in water and came out more terrible before you were filled with the Holy Spirit? There are some of you here that it was when you were an infant, they even did that to you. But I mean, if it's not God that taught you, you would have been a Lord today. I mean, not Lord of the Rings, but you know what I'm talking about. You know, I was talking to a young man who converted years ago from UniAgri while I was preaching. And he was a Lord. Lord. And his name was a beautiful name. I don't want to say it. It was a Christian name. Lord, take for instance, Lord Andrew. Lord Joseph. Paul the Lord. That paints a picture that they grew up in what? Christian homes. You see that? But you see, religion cannot defeat sin. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? Religion cannot what? Defeat. The only person that can defeat sin is what? Jesus Christ. It doesn't matter how much you bow your head and stand up and kneel down and resurrect. Whatever practice you are doing, light candles, off candles, it doesn't matter. Wear white, wear black, it doesn't what matter. Except Jesus is known, nothing can happen to your heart. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to explain to you? And that is why we have to come to this point in the church and in this present day where we emphasize Jesus more than any religious function and practice. If Jesus is understood in any assembly, people will be transformed. It's not a function of which church is first, which church is number two, who started the church, is my father going to that church, is Christ revealed in that church? Because Christ is the determining factor here. Alright, I was looking at verse 1 of Hebrews 1:1. So let's continue. Hebrews 1, I mean. So verse 2, it says, my emphasis, we're trying to describe the glory. Wonderful. See how we got to this place. Now, he spoke in diverse ways. Now you understand the Ezekiel factor, right? Why he was speaking in a strange way, because he was not filled with the Holy Ghost yet. Why Jesus was not revealed yet. So it was more, it was very mystical. But now that Christ is revealed, the Bible said in 2 Corinthians 3, he said, we speak with such plainness of speech. Everything now is clear, not ambiguous. No, we don't need to be like that. Don't need to be crazy. The reaction in those days was so ambiguous, was so intoxicating, because you see, the vessels that were housing the measure of the spirit were not really capacitated. Have you seen where kunu sour and you are trying to open it in a bottle before? Kunu. I wish the white people would understand. Kunu. We make kunu with millet. Eh? So there's some sort of effect that happens with what? Fermentation happens. And with time now, as you open that kunu, there will be some sort of effect, psh, like coke. The coke, what they call that effect? Fizz. And if you taste that kunu, how some of you like that thing? Kai. You nearly just escaped from drunkenness. If you like that. Some people like it actually. But it's not supposed to be liked. Alright? And if you leave it so long and mistakenly go and open, it will pour your face. Right? And that was what was happening. How many of you observe people who, you know, the Holy Spirit comes upon them, some sort of, even in the New Testament, and you see them lie on the ground and they say, "Oh," and they are rolling on the ground. Have you seen people like that? And that is because they've not really understood the ministry of the Holy Ghost in the New Testament. Alright? Now, if you are doing like that, stop doing like that. You see, as I said this thing, and some of you are looking at me and strangely. Yes, you can stop. If I tell you to stop, you stop. Years ago, a lady was doing like that. I said you should tell her to stop. She was in the meeting. When we told her to stop, she stopped. She now got offended that we told her to stop. How did you hear us telling you to stop? Sometimes we are so used to these activities that we just want to demonstrate things in church and make ourselves look like Superman. Because I'm the one, I see. Then when you finish, you say, Sister Sia, bless you. Stop trying to show off. It doesn't happen like that in the New Testament. I know you've read, they say in those days a prophet would stand, oh, I see now it's clear. We speak with such what? Plainness of speech. We have the Holy Ghost. We can curtail the presence of God, contain the presence of God. God has balanced it. Just like I was coming out of the car and I was telling the protocol, I heard a part of a song that said, if I can feel your heart and not feel your hand, I'm satisfied. I said, what an emotional statement. You are singing to God and telling him, God, if I feel your heart and not feel your hand, I am satisfied. Who asks you? Who beg you? Why are you trying to look good before God? How will you want to feel his heart and not feel his hand? You will not be crying that he's not faithful. Do you know what the hand of God is? How will you tell me that your father loves you and he will not show that he loves you? All of us, that's one of our problems in relationship, both men and women. He's saying he loves me, he cannot do anything. She's saying she cares about me, she cannot do anything. Then you are telling God, I want to feel your heart but not your hand. Did God write anywhere that you should sing that kind of song? Did he tell you that as I seek for people that will seek my heart and not my hand? Did you see it any part of scripture? Stop being emotional. Then I've heard people saying, God, any anointing you give me that I cannot contain, please don't give me. You are telling God, you are insulting God if you talk like that. You are a better God. Is that what you are saying? If I have heard somebody say, Father, reduce this anointing. I'm not serving you properly. So God does not know how to measure anointing. He gave you something bigger than you. Some people have mind. And you see them serious, they'll be crying. Whatever you want to give me, that will destroy me. Don't give me. Stop crying. Stop it. You are embarrassing God. Sometimes I picture God in the spirit saying, hey, what is wrong with these people? So I will give you something that you cannot contain. Stop being emotional. Like I heard somebody worshiping God one time. He said, this dust you've made has come. I just opened my eye. This dust you've made, God did not make dust. And some people say, well, but the Bible said, God told Adam, dust you are, and to dust you shall return. Did Jesus not come and redeem us from the curse of the law? And if anybody be in Christ, the word. So why are you talking about the consequence of Adam's decision for yourself? By one man, sin entered the whole world. Adam, and by the greater man, Jesus. Sin has left the whole world, and we have received the gift of righteousness and grace to reign over sin and over life. You see that? He dealt with sin. He now gave us the capacity. Alright? He empowered us through righteousness to reign above sin and every problems of life. You see that? The problem is that some people know what Jesus has done, but they don't want to receive the empowerment. Remember, we walk out this salvation with so much carefulness, which the Bible calls what? Fear and trembling. Not that you should be scared. Meaning, be very careful about walking out this salvation. Be very determined, serious about what? Walking out this salvation. You must take walking out your salvation as serious as salvation. And what is walking out your salvation? Prayer, revelation of the word. Before open prayer, you understand what Jesus has done, the blueprint, the understanding of what he has done on Calvary, then you begin to pray to become the reality of it. And this prayer is not haphazard prayer. You just wake up anytime you feel good about yourself or about God, you start praying. Mm-mm. It is religious prayer. What I mean by religious prayer is that you arrange time. Every day, by so time, so time, I will pray. Not waiting when problem come, then you want to start praying. Do you people get what I'm trying to explain to you? You must take working out your salvation very serious. Okay, 2 weeks in a week, two times in a week, I will fast. Not when problems come. Now, when problems come, you finish the problem. In fact, some will not even, the Bible says, before you pray, he answers you. You know what that means? As you are building capacity, he now sees the things that you deserve because you have grown. As a result and effect of your growth, now some things that you have not even prayed for will start coming. The moment you think you deserve something, it comes before you even you start praying about it. Because God knows, you know, one thing with God is that even if you are good, he will put a desire for something in your heart that you deserve. For instance, if God wants you to have a car, Alright? Because a lot of time people may think they don't really need a car. But God looking at you, and because he cares about you, he knows the number of hair on your head. Meaning he cares about your everyday living and everything. Now he sees how life is going and he's like, okay, I think she deserves a car. Let her get a car. And you have the money, you have the capacity, but you never thought about getting a car. You just felt like maybe 5 years to come. And the Lord now puts the burden in your heart. And some people, it is this very religious understanding that has made them not even get a car. Not because they can't get a car. When you sit down and really, you know, think about it, I really pray. You sense that the Lord is wanting you to get a car. Then when you begin to make plans towards it, he will help you complete it. Then the car will come. Because at this point, he thinks you will not be stupid if you get a car. I don't know that you guys are getting what I'm trying to say. Now, okay, you are earning 700,000. I was teaching a young man one time, and they sacked him from a 700,000 job. And I said, sometimes you would not go to the next level until God allowed you to be sacked. Because you think in Nigeria right now, a 700,000 job is the best thing that can happen to anybody. Nobody in this place wants to joke with a 700,000 naira job. Nobody, even myself. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? But what if sometimes, you know, we think low about ourselves? God thinks we deserve a 2 million naira job. Now, how will you leave 700 naira job for 2 million naira job? In fact, sometimes you see it, you may not even want to apply because you are okay. Where you are right now, God have tried. I don't know that you guys are getting what I'm trying to say. And God is saying that, with what I want to do with Sense's life, if I don't allow Satan to sack him, if I don't allow this conspiracy against Sense, he will not see this job of 1 million, 1.5 million. Because he got a higher job of millions. Right now, he has a better location. He was in Kano, now he's in Lagos. Better location, better amount. So he was so feeling, if he felt so bad, he said, I tithe, I give to the things of God. I don't know why that had to happen to me. I said, listen, no bad thing has happened to you. And as long as you are here and you are a Christian, you will see God will show himself. And probably they sack you now. You are just sitting from 700K. No job. Lord, who are you? Reveal this yourself to me. Who are you truly? At that point, you may now be frustrated and start looking at your Bible. And start seeing how he blessed Jacob, blessed Father Abraham, blessed all the people that work with him. So, I'm a blessed man. I'm a blessed. You come to church this kind of morning like this, and you are inspired. Pastor is talking about your case. Then you go back home, and pastor say, go back and cast your net again. You may have been toiling morning to night, applying for jobs, you are not getting it. Go and apply again. Same place. And you go back and you apply even casually. One of my persons in church told me, sir, I took the interview casually. I didn't even take it serious. They gave her a job 2 times better than what she used to earn before. Casually. And she left that place because she had an issue there. Now the question is, with what you had, probably she had more capacity for that kind of salary. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? When she came down, they say, choose your salary. But of course, the mind was not so strong that time. So she just chose 2 times her former salary. The people now say, okay, we'll add you 50,000. Recently, again, they added another 50,000. Now told me, sir, there's somebody that's lower that I manage that collects more than me. I said, you see, next time if you ask me, I'll tell you, say 1 million, you'll now price it. But it'll be like, if I say 1 million, they'll say I'm a wicked person, I'm not serious. Because God thinks you are more qualified than you even think about yourself. Just take, for instance, Potiphar's house and Joseph. Imagine that slave boy getting into another man's land. Potiphar, a general in the military, employed him to manage everything about him. Imagine Joseph's salary. It would be around 1.5 million, probably 2 million naira. That was a big job for somebody who was a slave. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? And now he's working for God. Then Oga's wife is now cutting eye for him. Another problem. A sharp street boy who say, now is my time. No issue.
But Joseph said, how can I do such a great sin against the Lord? God was not looking. Nobody would have seen. It would have been very smooth. He'll be managing the work and managing Madam at the same time. Nobody would have known. But he said, no, God is seeing. How can I do such a great sin? He knew where promotion comes from. Potiphar may have employed him, but God said, the heart of the king is in the hand of the Lord. Meaning, Potiphar's heart is in God's hand. This is one of the biggest truths you can ever hold in scripture. For some of you who are working today and who are into the labor market. Every ogre's hand that you know, every ogre's heart that you are working under today, the heart is in God's hand like this. He said, and like very workers, I can blow it in any direction that I will. No matter how wicked it may seem. They will casually bring you into the next level. Innocent. You look so good today. I don't know, but I think I'll promote you today. Sir, I'm so lucky. It's not luck. They said about Jesus in the book of Isaiah, none of his bones shall be broken. Is that what the Bible said? What did the soldiers say? Now, that was their culture. Their culture was that if you are dead, break their bones. How can somebody, prophecy beats culture. Prophecy beats culture. Did you get what I just said now? How many people can say you want to go and stand against culture today? But prophecy beats culture. The favor of God beats any kind of culture in this world. The soldier looked. Who is a soldier? A mere soldier. Goes against a law enforcer going against the law because of favor. Because of prophecy. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? He looked at Jesus and said, this man is a nice man. Let's not break the bones. Just carry him like that and bury him. Don't break the bones. The one that's supposed to break the bones, say, don't break the bone. And he gave an order beyond culture. They took Jesus. And he felt like he just didn't want to break the bones of Jesus. Not knowing that it was written about Jesus. That none of his bones shall be broken. It doesn't matter whether the soldier was born again or not. A prophet or not. The son of Isaiah or not. As long as it was said, it doesn't matter who is there. When it's time, God will do it through the person that is there. I don't know that you are getting what I'm trying to say. It doesn't matter who the boss is, whether Muslim or Hindu is, or he worships Buddha or whatever. It doesn't matter. When it's time, as long as wars have gone out, it must happen. I told you a story about myself years ago in EFCC office Abuja. On a Friday, I was ministering. I was supposed to minister in Kefi. So I went there. Quite late. After talking with my host, I said, let me rush to collect our square mail certificates. Something very casual, but very good testimony. And I called the lawyer who was doing it for us in Abuja. He said, Pastor, you are going by 3:30. I was leaving Kefi from 3:30. He said, before you get there, it will be 4. And they've already closed. It's Friday. You'll not meet anybody there. I said, but I have to leave tomorrow back to Makurdi after I'm done from Kefi. He said, no, Pastor, just leave it. Another time you collect it. I said, no, I have to collect it. He said, Pastor, if you go, you will not see anybody, and I can't call anybody now. I said, no problem. And I said to him, a miracle will happen. He was the first person I told. He said, Pastor, you are this your beliefs. No problem, let God do the miracle. But it's Friday, and it's almost 4:30. And he hung up. I got to one park, I don't even know the names of the places. I saw this long bus. I said, no, this one won't fulfill this prophecy. I looked at one taxi. I said, can I use you? He said, yes. I said, just start going to EFCC office. I don't even know the description. I was just calling there, describing it. He said, okay, the amount, you don't want to. I said, just be going. I thought it's Makurdi. You just enter taxi and, you know, just tell people direction. And they'll be taking you. I did not know that the money would be plenty. And I didn't even have money that day very well. When he called the money, I said, what? No problem. As I was saying, no problem, money entered my account. Boom! I knew that God was showing me that this thing will work. I said, call your account number. He called it. I sent it. Just me. Entered the office. One woman, like my mother, she was at the reception. I said, hello, ma. I want to collect square mail. She said, where are you coming from? I said, I'm from Makurdi, but I came to Kefi to do something. My friend, get out from this place. Are you mad? This is how you people will be coming and lying. Liars. You live in Abuja. You are lying that you are because you want to collect. I mean, get out from here. Rubbish. No, you cannot enter this. That's how she started shouting. I couldn't reply her. I said, my friend, will you move out from here? I went outside. I said, God, but I said a prophecy will happen. A miracle, sorry, will happen. Then the Holy Spirit said, start praying in the Holy Ghost. Then I began to pray. We don't know how to pray as we ought to. But the Holy Spirit helped our infirmity with groanings that words cannot express. Lord, I have something I want you to help me fulfill tonight. So I began to steer the power of the Holy Spirit. Just walking on the road and pray. And as I just finished, I opened my eye and I interfaced with one of these men coming out from the office. And he said, he's a Yoruba man. He said, what are you doing here? I said, do you work here? He said, no. I said, don't worry. So while he was going, he said, just tell me, what is your problem? I said, what is there? If I tell him, I cannot do anything. What is my business? And I said to him, this is it. I came to minister in Kefi. He said, I was asking you and not answering me. It's my brother that is in charge of the office here. Follow me. I said, follow him at the bar. When I got to the woman, he stood far. Say, you again. I said, I'm following him. She now say he's with me. As he just said he's with me, she just kept quiet. Oh, sorry, sir. I followed her. I looked at her. I was going like a joke. It was so too good to be true. Go to the man's office, very big office, plenty files. He said, what ministry? What is the name? I said, Glory Cards. He just carried two. He said, we just finished it, sir. Here, write your name, sign. I did that. I said, is that all? He said, yes. I looked at the man, I said, sir, do I have to do? He said, do anything for who? It's okay. God is with you. I said, yes, sir, thank you so much. And so we left. That was all. I told the lawyer, I just collected the, of course, you have to hear the testimony. I just collected the certificate. By 5 o'clock, how? I told you now, a miracle will happen. And it has happened. God bless you, lawyer. And I caught the call. And I went. Now, it didn't matter who was there. God had to use somebody somehow. See, it was not a coincidence that while I was coming, that was when the man was going out. God probably delayed their conversation so that I will arrive. God probably steered his heart to go to the office that day because of me. You know, I had this friend. He's a captain today in the Nigerian military. You know, we go in the barracks together. One day we're going to church for School of the Spirit under our spiritual father. And Mango just fell around Cantonment A, one of those military schools. One big mango just fell. We always used to pluck mango from the tree, but there's this old man that will be sitting there like that is his house. And, you know, you dare not stone the place until he's not around. So that day he was sitting under and the mango fell. And he rushed it and carried it. He said, Prophet Simon, I said, yes. He said, nothing in this world that anybody can tell me, this mango fell because I was hungry. And God knew I was hungry. I said, yes, I agree. He said, if you like, laugh at me. I don't care. This mango fell because I was hungry. I learned something from him that day. Nothing is a coincidence. That's why in the Hebrew, there is no word for coincidence. They don't believe in coincidence. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? It is prophecy being what? Fulfilled. Are you here tonight? So if God wants to promote you, sometimes he will allow some kind of rough seasons of your life. Rough seasons. And if you give up at that point, the Bible says, my heart finds no pleasure in a man that starts and comes back. The Bible says, my heart, God speaking, say, my heart has no pleasure in such a man. That without faith, it is impossible to what? Please God. God is not pleased by tears. Except that tears is tears of faith. He's only pleased by what? Verse 2 said, has in this last day spoken to us by his son. Now there's no ambiguity. I tried for this English. Alright? Whom he has appointed heir of what? All things. Through whom also he made the world. Now God have spoken. Say spoken. What is spoken? Finish speaking. God has finished speaking in Christ Jesus. Now nothing is ambiguous again. We don't need to kill any lamb. We don't need to use any water. We don't need to use any oil. We don't need to use any soap. We don't need to use any salt. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? It is clear now in Christ Jesus. He's living waters. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? He's the lamb that takes away the sins of the world. He's the anointed one, not anointing oil, not Goya. Do you guys get what I'm trying to say? God is not Babalawo. We don't do Babalawo activities in church. He needs no physical substance. Come into the feast with no what? Speck or what? Wrinkle or anything like that. He said, but holy and spotless. Meaning come into the ceremony with everything I've done for you alone. Your makeup should be everything I've done, God speaking. Not anything you learn from any man's wisdom. I don't need it. I am God and they are not. So if God says something to us about righteousness, we don't need to add anything. You know, one time I was speaking with a friend. I said, there's a denomination that have what they call canon laws. I said, it is unnecessary. You don't need to add anything to help people reach God. What God has said in his word is what? Enough. Say enough. If what God has said cannot help us to be holy, nothing can make us to be holy. It is God's provision that can help us to be holy. Not anything man is adding to God's provision. And that's why the Bible said we have received everything that we need for life and godliness by the understanding of God's great and precious promises. You see that? We have received everything necessary for what? Life and godliness. I was telling someone yesterday, I said, if you look at David in scripture, you'll be wondering, David, Solomon, and some of these people, you know, in scripture, their faith in God was hinged on the practices of old. They believed they were righteous because of lambs slain and etc. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? Yeah. And that's why when Jesus came, he said, our righteousness in the New Testament must exceed the righteousness of the old, in that one had no result. When they just slay lambs, it doesn't matter whether they have concubines, they felt okay. Alright? For instance, David had concubines. The Bible said where David slept with his concubines, Absalom also took David's concubines. When he took over the kingdom, he took David's girlfriends. I said, it's not David that repented with this woman that time that still went and this David self. It's not David that went and carried somebody's wife and killed the person and pray for forgiveness. He now had plenty girlfriend again. I was sleeping with them in one bed in his upstairs up there. He has one bed where he call his girlfriend and we're sleeping with them. And he'll be playing all this piano for us at the rest. I'll be singing songs. And you understand what I'm trying to say? And we're wondering. You know, I went to preach somewhere and the guy I was taking something told me, say, Pastor, so I want to ask you a question. What I'm doing, is he wrong? I said, no, I came to just preach righteousness to you. It's not to judge you. He said, no, I want you to answer me. This thing I'm taking now, is he wrong? I say, just hear my gospel, let me go. Then he said, I know you are judging me. I said, I did not say anything about judging you. There were plenty smoking and drinking. He now said, let me tell you something, Pastor. Do you know Solomon in the Bible? I say, yes. God liked him or not? I say, God liked him. He said, was he God's right-hand man? I say, yes. He said, I'm not sure even you are close to Solomon in the Bible. I did not answer him. He said, but God, Solomon had, he now called the wives and called concubines. And Solomon was God's man. Me and I just two I want to marry. He said he wants to marry two. So what do I have to say about it? I said, God, how do we start this conversation now? I said, do you have time? He said, yes. So I said, I began to explain that in the Old Testament, the righteousness of God was not revealed yet. All they depended on was killing a lamb. Their faith was hinged. That's why Hebrews 11 explains their faith like this. Even though coincidentally it can describe the New Testament faith or what faith actually means. The Bible says faith now is the substance of things hope for the evidence of things not seen. In other words, their lamb slain was why they were believing in Jesus. Their faith in Jesus was hinged on the killing of lamb in their days at the status quo that time. So when they kill a lamb, they were showing their faith in God, their faith in Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection in the future. And that way now, that killing of the lamb will cover for their sins. It didn't make any sense because they were still in sin. Imagine the concubines. But Solomon doesn't joke with the sacrifice of lamb. He will prepare the best lambs. Yet if he finish, he will go and carry add more concubines to his wife. And what was wrong with Solomon? You people should tell me. Because how can you have how many 100 wives? Did you finish sleeping with these 700 women? Then afterwards, he now has how many concubines? Many, there were some he recruited that he didn't have time to sleep with before he died, probably. But yet this man was what? Killing lambs. There was no day he would miss any religious practice. That's why Jesus said, our righteousness has exceeded the righteousness of the Pharisees. In this righteousness, the Bible said in the book of Romans 8, and it's Romans 6 and 14, right? It said, now sin shall not have dominion over you, because you are not under the law, but under what? Grace. Under the law, they could kill lambs and still live in sin. So the law did not stop the sin problem. Remember verse 3 of Romans 8. The Bible says, because of the flesh, the law was powerless. It could not do anything. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the... God did by sending his own in the likeness of sinful, on account of he destroyed sin in the... So you see, the law could not solve the sin problem. Are you understanding me now? So don't think the law really did anything. The Old Testament guys, you know, really had anything that could stop sin. They didn't have anything that can stop sin. In fact, the Bible said the purpose of the law, and sometimes when people say the first covenant, the second covenant, I used to laugh because from God's perspective, God does not see it as my first will and my second will. If you look at Hebrews 10, the Bible said the only will of God is the second covenant. The first was supposed to act in Galatians 3, Ephesians 4. The first was supposed to act like a schoolmaster. Is it Galatians 4 or Ephesians 4? It was supposed to act as a school what? Master. Pointing them to Christ. More like shadows pointing toward Christ. Remedias. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to explain to you? Not the actuality of everything. Alright? So, lamb slain points to Jesus' death, burial, and what? Water baptism points to, if anybody be in Christ, it comes as a what? Anointing on your points to the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit that will come in the future. Isn't it? Are you guys getting what I'm trying to explain to you? But now that Jesus is revealed and the Holy Ghost is here, we leave all of those practices. They couldn't really solve any problem. They were pointers to the original. You cannot be excited about my shadow when you have seen me. When you see me, you truly understand my shadow. You can't understand me from my shadow. Did you get what I just said now? You can't really understand the details about me from my shadows. But when you see me, you understand my shadows. Do you get what I'm trying to say? The Old Testament shadows, New Testament object, Christ is revealed in the New Testament. Now, from the New Testament, we properly understand the word Old Testament. That's why right now I'm telling you that they couldn't stop sin because righteousness was not actually revealed in the Old Testament. There was no provision for righteousness to be revealed. So don't expect anything. God was not expecting Solomon to be better than what he showed. Money finished him, even though he had a good heart and didn't seek for money at the beginning. But when he had the money so much, in fact, your fathers will tell you about our grandfathers. Most of them, when they had so much money, Nigeria was not in this kind of problem. That time, if you finish school, they will give you a car. So the best thing they can do with their money is to add I want to bring a woman that will help you farm. So it was farming that was the excuse. Do you get what I'm trying to say? I want to add one, that your sister there. I want to add her, so that she'll be your co-wife. Let her help us farm. The next 2 years, we'll say, this farm work is getting more ambiguous. Let me bring that your friend. I saw it with one girl the other day. Let me add her. So the man now has like 5 wives. Some of you, your grandfather has like 10 wives. My own had 10 wives or more. I don't know of your own. You see that? My father was telling me, he said he was a strong man. He had money, so he was marrying people. He was just marrying women. When I went for my grandfather's burial, I was shocked. If you see the people, if you see the children, we're still looking for them. The crowd was so much. We're like, I see children and children, children. Are these people our family? Say yes. I say, how will I know all these my family people? There was no way. So there are some that we don't know ourselves, but we used to walk around in Makodi probably and greet, you know. Do you guys get what I'm trying to explain to you? That's how it used to happen. Solomon had plenty wives and concubines because of money. What of David? David too had. You know, if you look at the scripture carefully, David had concubines. And they say every father wants his son to do better than him. So you see, Solomon did better than David. But you see, they never joke with all of those their Hausa will call it savvy. They were not joking with it. Now, God asked us a question in Jesus through Hebrews 10. He said, me, God, you think I delight in human sacrifices? If I was hungry, I will eat anything I want to eat. Not people killing lambs and putting and saying their sacrifice. He said, I don't delight in all of those things. Then he now said, I don't live in temples made by what? Human hands. And that's why he said in verse 7 of Hebrews 10 that Jesus came to do the will of the Father, which is removing the first. What is the will of the Father? Remove that first thing and establish what is supposed to be there. See, if you don't see changes in church, and now let me hit the nail on the head. If you don't see changes in church a lot of times, you'll be wondering if something is wrong somewhere. And the Holy Ghost, somebody asked me a question. I think it was you, right? You sent me a question in my mail recently. Pastor, you said somebody can be filled with the Holy Spirit and still not be changed. What do you mean by that? I was listening to your sermon. Have you seen people who are filled with the Holy Ghost and they are very wicked? Because the evidence for us, the way we're taught according to the Bible, that you are filled with the Holy Ghost, is that you begin to pray in other tongues. If I used to feel some people used to fake these tongues. Because the way they are wicked, the Holy Ghost cannot be in them. But actually, there are some filled with the Holy Spirit and they are acting wrongly. Because, you know, something has to happen to your subconscious, your consciousness. And it has to happen through knowledge. Even if the Holy Ghost is in you, if you don't understand the ministry of the Holy Spirit, you don't understand what the Holy Spirit wants to teach you for a change in your life. Jesus said the Holy Spirit is supposed to bear witness about me to you. Meaning the Holy Spirit does not have a ministry in himself. The ministry of the Holy Spirit is to the end that Jesus is revealed to the believer. To the end that the believer's identity is revealed to himself. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Do you know that the end of this journey is not that Jesus is revealed? We can actually say that it is that Jesus be revealed, because at the end of your discovering Jesus, you get to understand yourself the way you are supposed to be. According to 2 Corinthians 13, Jesus, who is the glory, according to Hebrews 1:3 says Jesus is the glory of God, meaning he is the express image of the Father. And the Bible says, as we behold Jesus as in a glass, or as we behold the glory as in a glass, we are being transformed into what we behold. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? What is the determining factor for change in the life of a believer? Beholding Jesus. What is the primary purpose or the chief purpose of the Holy Spirit? To the end that you understand what? Jesus. And understand, as you understand Jesus, what happens to you? You are what? Changed into the image of the Father. The way he said in Genesis 1, I have created man in my word, image and likeness. But Adam never touched the zenith of this experience. It is as Adam will eat from the tree of life, the beholding, because God does not change. He's the same yesterday, today, forever. So we can tell that God wanted Adam to behold, meaning eat from the tree of life, that simply means Christ Jesus. And as he eats, what happens to him? Because as he eats the word, transformation word happens. Then Adam will get to realize that God actually created him in his word, image and what? Likeness. But Adam was cut short of that experience by disobeying God. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? Do you people get what I'm trying to explain? And of course, I've told you several times that you don't look at the scripture and say there was one time that there were apples and the rest. Why the hell are you eating apple right now? But you see, the person that wrote Genesis was giving birth in Exodus 2. How did he know what happened in Genesis? He had to speak to us. God had to speak to him in what? Metaphors, allegories, and etc., isn't it? And that's why Paul, so that we are not confused, said something in Hebrews 5. I'll continue very soon. Paul said in verse 12, 13, 14, he said, when one is skilled in the word of righteousness, he was mad at some of his church brethren. He said, some of you have been in church for years, like some of you seated under the sound of my voice, and you ought to be teachers to other people right now, but you are not even being serious with attendance. There are some of our members who we see once in 2 weeks. Once in now, I got you now. Paul said, some of you ought to be teaching others, but you yourself, we need to follow you up. He said, he's wrong. He said, okay, because of this, your behavior, you don't deserve strong meat, meaning the actual word of God. He said, you actually deserve baby milk, basic truth of the gospel, so that you can grow, because you are acting immature. So he now substituted the words of righteousness, which simply means the words that tell you your place in Christ, for strong meat. Are you people getting what I'm trying to explain? I'm doing the math so that when you look at it later, you will not be confused. He substituted words of righteousness for what? Strong meat. So it's like If actually you know what you are doing, we should teach you so much of word of righteousness, the word that tells you your place in Christ. But now the way you are behaving, let's go back and teach you elementary doctrines. Then he said, when one is skilled in the word of righteousness, what happens to that person? He said, the proof is that the person's senses will be exercised. He will have wisdom. And that person now, because of the wisdom that he has, can now tell the difference between what? Wrongs and right. Because what is wisdom? The application of knowledge. He can tell the difference between what? Wrongs and right. Does it paint a picture of what happened in Eden? As Adam will get to understand words of righteousness by eating of the tree of life, he will come to that point that he is now mature to know the difference between what? Good and evil. Do you understand me? Because God is not wicked to put a tree and be tempting man. The tree has a meaning. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? Somebody say, but God did not say that in Genesis. But he said that in Hebrews. So he has said it anyways. Isn't it? Very important. Hallelujah to Jesus. So back to where we are. The determining factor for a change is the Holy is a revelation of Jesus that comes by the Holy Spirit. So Jesus said, it is to your advantage that I go, else the Holy Spirit will not come. It is to your advantage, because now that I'm here on the earth, I'm limited to where? Jerusalem, probably. He said, but when I'm gone, I come back. I will come back in another form. Aros Parakletos. Another of the same form. At that point, Pastor Benny will say the Holy Spirit is Jesus in gaseous form. He can be everywhere at the same time. So Jesus is in Nigeria, is in Israel, is in Namibia, is in any country. I'm not sure he's in South Africa. Is in any country at the same time. I think he's everywhere. I'm just shaking. Hallelujah to Jesus. Because if he's in South Africa, they will not be that wicked. You see, the old Africans were against an African country. It paints a very bad picture. Because the Holy Ghost is there, they will not be acting the way they are acting. But he will be everywhere at the same time. Aros Parakletos, another of the same type. Alright? So, at this point now, Jesus is in us as the Holy Spirit and teaching us about himself. Because it is as we get to understand the glory, which is Jesus Christ, that we get changed. The Holy Spirit is not in you to be following you to the ground and be causing you to see irrelevant visions. See, that's why I now had to negate that thing. Because some people, they want to use the Holy Spirit to do show off. And if you look at it deeply, it's not the Holy Spirit that is doing it. Like the lady I told to stop shouting in church that time. And she got offended that I told her to stop shouting. How did she hear me if she was in the Spirit? I said, tell that lady to stop shouting. Oh, I see. Oh. The first function of the Holy Spirit is to know Jesus. Now that you are filled with the Holy Ghost, get your eyes glued to the Bible. Because he will unravel mysteries to you. He actually said to us that there are many things I want to tell you and teach you, but you don't have capacity to understand yet. He said, but when the Holy Spirit is come on your inside, then he will unravel everything I've told you and many things that I'm yet to what? Tell you. You see that? So the primary purpose of the Holy Spirit is so that Jesus be revealed to you. Yes, there are times of refreshing where we can lay hands on you and you'll be empowered, strengthened. But you see, that strength cannot carry you for long until it is authenticated in your life as your own strength as you grow in the word. Because that's the actual way you become strong as a Christian. The Bible says, Paul speaking, he says, I commit you to God through the word of his grace that is able to what? Build you up and give you an inheritance amongst them that were sanctified. So the empowerment is not laying of hands. The bigger empowerment is teaching you the word. That doesn't mean hands will not be laid. But as we are laying the hands to strengthen you per season, we are teaching so that the strength can become your own strength. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? You know, Paul said, I can't wait to see you so that I can impart you with certain spiritual abilities. So that you can stay strong and grow in the word. You know, while you are immature yet, Satan should not take advantage of you. That's why you need the empowerment. But you're supposed to still grow by the word. So that's why Paul still said to us in Hebrews 6. He said, leaving the elementary, let us step into perfection. Not laying again the foundation of dead works. Dead works. Repentance through dead works. He said, leaving the elementary discussions of Christ, let us what? Go. The elementary. Old Testament washing of hands oil and all of those things. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? He said, let us go on to what? Perfection, the real stuff. Not what? Laying again the foundation of what? Repentance from dead works and of faith towards God. Repentance, let me explain. Repentance of dead works. What is repentance of dead, from dead works? I mean, you get into water, you come out, you say you have been changed. You carry oil and any problem, you put it on your forehead. Wrong. A problem happens, you carry water in your house and you're spraying it everywhere. These are dead works. Or you do something in the flesh, you now think you are righteous. Like someone who came out and said, I've never slept with any woman. We don't need to know. Now that you have never slept with any woman, thank God for your life. We give God all the praise. Thank God alone and say, God, I've not slept with any woman except my wife. I give you all the praise. If you want us to know, you are proud. Why do we need to know? I don't know that you get what I'm trying to say. And how are you sure everybody even believes you? And did God ever say, if you have not seen, if you sin and have not seen, come and be telling the world? Did he tell anybody like that? So that's righteousness from dead works. That anytime you want to talk about yourself, you have to talk about people's weakness. Righteousness from dead works. You always want to boast about your ability. I remember such a person still said, there are ranks in the spirit. Now, if you have not gotten to a certain rank, you cannot remove a demon. You cannot cast a certain demon. And I said, I'm not one of those set of people that just follow God blindly. I told my wife one time, I don't know if it's my wife or some group of leaders. I said, see, even God knows that before I started following him, I vetted the word of God very well. I was not going to just waste my life, and God has no problem with that. God that told you to come, let's reason together and bring out your strong reasons. He has no problem with that. Meaning as a Christian, ask questions if you don't understand. Are you able to get what I'm trying to explain? Don't just follow. God does not even want you to follow him blindly. Paul spoke in Acts 18 about Christians that were more grown than other Christians. He said they were called the nobles. Because anytime Paul was done teaching, they would not just clap for Paul. They'll go back home and say, what's brother Paul taught? Let's go and vet it. And next Sunday they'll come and say, Paul, you said the truth of God's word. It was true. And that way, because they were studying to understand for themselves, they were growing. They understood that that was truth. Not what Prophet Simon said. Is it your truth? Do you understand it as truth? Are you guys getting what I'm trying to explain to you? Very important. So I didn't just start following God anyhow. I knew how my life used to be. My mother knows how my life used to be. My mother knows more than anybody. I was close to 80s. I didn't. I'll just ask you a scientific question. And if you just, I'll say, see, you don't know what you're doing. They forced me to fast, so I'll go and eat food and put sand on my mouth and come back. I'm fasting. But God knew that I would never waste my time at that time to fast that fast. I knew it. Even my offerings that I used to eat it. I'll go and trick my hand and go back home and use the money to buy something. I did all of those crazy things. Because I didn't believe that God was really there. Until I began to understand the scriptures better. So I didn't come into Christianity for somebody to control my way of thinking. If it's not right. I respect you, but I don't respect wrong ways of what thinking. I only respect the scripture. Because the scripture is the final authority. Even God will see me as stupid if finally I stand before him and said, I believed it, not because you said it, but because somebody else said it. God will think I'm stupid. Because if I truly honor that person and honor God, I will not believe a wrong thing. I will believe what God has said. Paul said, follow us as we follow Christ. And so I found it so bad because some of you would have seen it. And it will affect your faith. Wrong doctrines have the potency to destroy your faith. Because faith cometh by hearing. Fear also cometh by hearing. Foolishness also cometh by hearing. Not by listening, I was telling leaders, hearing. As much as you can, don't hear wrong things. Say, no, Pastor, I did not pay attention to it. You don't need to pay attention. If it gets into your spirit, if it gets into your ear, you are in trouble. At a time, that thing you just heard and didn't listen will just resurrect. Say, Pastor, they were always speaking about my sister, my friend, anyhow. If you sit where they are speaking about somebody that is dear to you anyhow, you are receiving wrong seeds on your inside. Because it is not guaranteed that you and that person will not have issues tomorrow. The day you have small issue with that person, those words you heard and didn't listen will start resurrecting. Okay, This is what they said about her. I did not see it. I just saw it. Offense will just make you blind. You start amplifying, and Satan likes it. You give him a foothold through offense, he will amplify it. Ah, they actually say Sister Vero is like, not like that. Why do you think she did that the other day? And it has no connection, though. But Satan will connect it. And at the end, you will give him his flowers. He's called the accuser of the brethren. Meaning, if you suspect somebody wrongly, Satan will amplify that suspicion. He wants you to suspect and hate the right people and love the wrong people. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? People who are supposed to bless you are hating them. Like one time I was speaking with a young pastor, and he said, why will a man of God have private jet? I said, why will he not have? So what is he doing using private jet to do? Now, I don't know how the hell some people got their private jet, but I believe God can give somebody private jet. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? I don't know how some get, if they got wrongly, it's their business with God. But can God not give somebody private jet? And does it not make sense that if you get more busier, you need a private jet? Somebody like Bishop Oyedepo and Pastor Chris now, should they go and stay in Chan Changi Airlines? Does it still exist? Or Arik Airlines or any airlines and start say they are waiting for their flight to go to their other branch and preach where millions of people are waiting for them? There's a crusade and it needs to be in two places. And say you should wait for Nigeria. They will not say due to unforeseen circumstances, we cannot fly any longer. So what do you want that man of God to do? He will now call the people and say, well, we're going to do a Zoom meeting. You're going to watch me now. I've declared it. Does it make sense? So God will say, for the gospel's sake, God can give you anything. He said, what can a man offer in exchange of his soul? Talk less of souls. Why would God not give a man of God private jets for souls? He will even give you two so that if one injury is not okay, you take the other one. Because of souls, God will give you ability to make your own airports. It's because you are seeing it wrongly. Souls matter to God more than any amount of money. He said, what can a man, if he gave his whole only son, only begotten son for the whole. Now, listen, if you are the only one on the earth, do you know Jesus would have died for you? He would have died for you. So if Jesus can die for only you, why do you think that souls, people that are doing business with souls, God will not give them private jets? In fact, God can give one private jet for each soul. Because he said, what can a man offer in exchange of his soul? So I want you to see God the right way. Even though some people have misused or misunderstood prosperity. Listen, prosperity is not the gospel. And there's nothing like the gospel of prosperity. There is the gospel. Are you able to get what I'm trying to say? But God in the gospel still wants you to understand that me that was very rich became very poor, so that through my poverty you become very rich. I heard somebody say rich in grace, no problem, rich in grace of money. You can just call it grace. He said God is able to make sure that grace abounds you towards every need. Grace is for needs. And he said towards what? Every need. Does it make sense that you are in need as a believer and God will not come for you? Say, I don't know. Preach salvation. What is salvation? The root word is soteria. And sozo in Greek and Hebrew. It simply means wholeness. God did not save you partly. He saved you wholly. One of these Adam lost was money. There were four streams of income. Powerful streams of income in Eden. There was never a day that there was lack. Everything was flourishing in Eden. Adam had everything he wanted. But when Adam messed up and lost the most important thing, he lost even the prosperity. He lost Eden. When he ate from the wrong tree, instead of the tree that will sustain him even in the prosperity, is the tree of life, which is Christ. Do you get what I'm trying to explain? But when he did not eat from the right tree and ate from the wrong tree, God thought that, okay, now that you don't have Christ, you don't need money. So he said, Adam, okay, you can go. He lost he lost all the money and glories in Eden because he didn't have Christ. But now you have Christ. He said, if I did not spare my only son for you, will I not through him freely give you all things? Meaning he wants you to have all things. And that's why he gave you the most important things that will determine you to have what? All things. Will I not through what I've given you, Christ Jesus, freely giving you what? All things. Now we are accepted in the beloved. Now, in the beloved, we have been blessed with all spiritual and earthly blessings. Where is the position? Christ Jesus. In Christ, you are qualified for all the blessings. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? And that's why I said, if my word abide in you and you abide in my word, meaning if you think like Christ, he said, anything you want, I will give you. Are you thinking like Christ? Are you eating from the tree of life? You deserve everything. Because this kind of person cannot mess up. Adam did not eat from the tree of life. He lost everything. Now, seek first the kingdom of God and righteousness, how it operates in Christ Jesus. Then he said, every other word will be added to you. So you want so much money, but you don't have time praying and staying with the word. You don't deserve any kind of money. And you can only have that money by compromise. But if you must have that money God's way, you must seek first the kingdom. You must allow the word of God find its full place in you. He said, you are made pure, John 15, because of my word in you. My word in you. You have time to amplify, talk about your business, prepare your business, whatsoever. But you see, you don't have time to pray in the spirit. That's dangerous. Again, I was watching Bible stories, and it became more real to me. The three Hebrew boys. There was a fourth one, Daniel, but the three Hebrew boys first. Daniel was so bold, his brothers would come out, and they came out. Oh, thank you, Holy Spirit. These three Hebrew boys, Daniel called them to help him rule over the kingdom as the king gave him authority. Nebuchadnezzar, he called his three brothers. He said, come and help me, let's rule over this city together. And the king made them all leaders. But one time the king became so proud, and he made a statue of himself. And he said, everybody at the sound of the trumpet, bow to me. I've become a god. He felt so powerful. And at that point, the three Hebrew boys said they will not bow. They are leaders. Meaning they have advantage. They have favor. God has favored them through the king. See, if you need to disobey God to sustain man's favor, you are not in God's favor. You are not under... If you think you are under God's favor, but you need to disobey him for that favor to be sustained, you are wrong. And actually, you are not under God's favor. Because you see, these people, they knew that God favored them through the king. Yet, when the king said, do the wrong thing, they say, no. No. You are ruling badly. We will not do this thing. You are very wrong. Oh, king, about this matter, we are not careful. I was telling a young man, I said, I don't know what kind of money they will give a man of God that will not talk, that the government is not behaving well, especially in this time in this country. If we really honor the Lord, we will speak. Because we are in ministry for souls. People are dying and we cannot talk. It's not possible now. It's not possible. If we claim we are opening churches for souls, and these souls are dying without receiving Jesus, some of them yet, what are we doing? We are not talking. So I said, no. No matter the favor we are receiving from the government, it simply means something is wrong with the state of our heart. They say we are not careful. We will not bow. They stood their ground. The king got so offended. The people went and reported, said, watch them now. The king started noting them. When they blew the trumpet, the boys would not bow. He said, you people will not bow. Take them and throw them. Make the fire seven times. Whether they will change their mind. They said, no, king. If we perish, that's a real fate. Some doubt came in their hearts and they responded. We believe God can save us from this fire. Meanwhile, if we perish, we perish for a good cause. That's what we call faith. No option B. See, it is only for man that you don't put all your eggs in one basket. Too. But if God has given you his word, put all your eggs. Look for extra eggs and put in the baskets. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? For man, don't put what I'm warning you. But if God gives you his word, borrow other eggs. Put inside that one basket. We're not careful. The soldiers that took them to put in the fire were burnt by the fire. The three Hebrew boys, nothing happened. At the end, they came and peeped and they saw a fourth man in the fire. They said, king, it's three people we put. But we're seeing a fourth man in that fire. The king came and peeped from afar. He saw a fourth man in the fire. And the king said, bring them out. See, they commanded them, come outside. And they came out. Clothes not burned. Nothing. Fire seven times hotter. Three men came. The fourth one did not come. The fourth one remained and left. For our God is a consuming fire. How can you be housing consuming fire and physical fire burn you? And if you really understand the ministry of angels, Angels come in diverse manifestations. Sometimes they appear in manifestations like fire. You can look at the book of Genesis. You will see how that angels manifested as fire by night and what? Cloud by day. They bring these possibilities into manifestation. So God sent one angel. Say, go and just neutralize that. Neutralize that. Neutralize that fire. Make it conducive for human beings. And this voice came out. The king shouted, your God is my God. He shouted. He couldn't believe what he saw. Your God is my God. Your God is my God. He believed God because of the testimony of three Hebrew boys. They traveled to UK and they said, do you understand what I'm trying to say? They japped. You know, they did not jump actually. They traveled. You know, there's japping and traveling. Relocation. They relocated to UK. Because if you japa, you don't want to enter that fire. You say, king, we believe you. But this one relocated. God sent them to UK. And so that is why they did not allow phonetics and English to make them atheists. There are some that went for 2 weeks and they say, I don't know why Africans stress so much in prayer. I stopped praying since I came to the US. Those who are in the Japan. But the ones that relocated because of the will of God, no. They are still born in there. Are you here? And the king said, your God is my God. When he died, his son came out. His son metamorphosed a more wicked king. And the sacred corpse that the king kept for the God of Daniel, they used it for worship. He carried and was drinking beer with his cabinets. And the people who hated Daniel and the Hebrew boys, they now conspired and started lying about Daniel. Say, this one does not respect your father's God. Blah, 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 blah. That's how your father was favoring him. The power the king gave Daniel, the son removed all, stripped him all of those powers, stripped him off. And then said, Daniel, bow to my God. He said, I wouldn't bow. I wouldn't bow. Three times. But you see, this is what is very important. Pastor, I know everything around tech and everything around banking and everything around this and everything around that. Do you understand your God? It is they that know their God that will be strong and do what? See, life is too serious for you to not know God. Do you know somebody can determine your end in life just in a minute? That's why you are joking if you don't know God, though. You are joking. Somebody can determine the day you will leave this world if you don't know God. There are some people that enter that office with things. Somebody say things. They enter the office with stuff. You are coming with clear eye and with a clear conscience. Clear conscience. Say, my heart is pure. I did not offend anybody. Since I did not do anybody anything, nobody can do. You are just believing those. What is the source of your speakings? Are you just being optimistic? Or you are speaking by faith? What's the substance of your faith? The substance of your speakings. That's what makes it faith. Are you speaking from substance? You say, when I'm done from here, I'll have to go and sit down somewhere and eat. Because you have money. If you only have desire without money, you cannot talk like that. You must have something that is determining the way you are talking. Do you understand what I'm trying to explain to you? Daniel, in another man's land. Sorry, Daniel in UK and US will still close his door and pray in tongues. He will pray in tongues. He will pray in the spirit. So influential, yet had time to pray. He knew why he was influential. It is not a joke for a king to have a dream and tell you people, I'm not going to tell you the dream and the interpretation. I don't even know the interpretation of the dream, but I'm not going to even tell you the dream. All the wise men in the land, come and tell me the dream and tell me the interpretation. What a wicked king. We don't know your dream. They say, please tell us the dream. We'll tell you interpretation. He said, no. Tell me my dream. Tell me the interpretation. And all the wise men could know. He said, go and finish them. When they wanted to kill them, Daniel came and said, don't kill them. Just give me some time. I will tell you your dream. And I'll tell you your interpretation. And if it's not true, you can kill me. Have my head. And Daniel, the Bible said, went and prayed for 3 days. He will turn towards Jerusalem and say, I'm not in Jerusalem, but I know the God of my father in Jerusalem. And he will pray and pray. The next day, he came out by faith. We in the prophetic, we call it big mouth, small eyes. According to Bible historians, they said Daniel did not even really see that vision before he appeared before the king. Some people believe that it was when he stood before the king, he started saying what he thought was a dream and interpretation. And when he was done, the Bible said the king stood up and was shocked. His eyes were open. And he looked at Daniel. Oh, Daniel. And he hugged him and became very scared of the God of Daniel. Well, it didn't end there. The people said, ah, this favor this man is having. And that's how they'll be talking. Human beings have not changed. Your Oga is lacking in the office. There are some who worship Azor spirits. That will be saying, we'll go and we don't like this guy. We're going to consult our God. Are you forgetting what I'm trying to say? We'll kill him. I was telling my wife that time, I have the privilege to see in the prophetic. Our church land, somebody wants to collect it. The second one we bought. And I said, he dares not touch that land. And they think they're influential. He's a big man for the government. I said, they can't touch the land. And they came demonically. They came physically. And I said to the man, the next time you come to me again, I'll kill you. And they said, how can you threaten somebody with no evidence? I said, this one does not have evidence. But he knows he's a demon. And since that day, he didn't come 120 miles close to my place. He didn't come close. I said, you dare again, it will be the head. Your head will be plugged out. They came on a Thursday. I told my wife. They came, not Saturday or something. They came and I saw them from afar. They were trying to infuse something in my head so that I would become mentally unstable. Say, how does prophet knows all these things? I saw them. So when I woke up, they ran away from a distance. When they ran away, I stood up, I opened the door. I saw my wife too. She was up. I said, they came. She said, who came? I said, these guys came. Now, I sense even a physical attack. I said, Prophet Samuel, I'm scared. Oh, I'm scared. On a Sunday, when church like this, we were trying to break into my house. On a Sunday morning. I went back. We got the papers. We were trying to steal the papers. We got the papers, took it to a military. My friends in the military, I kept it there. And I came back. And my father was angry. He had to send a warning too as a military man. And we told the guy, we said, if you come again now, forget physical. If you come, if your name is your name, come again spiritually. I'll kill you. He took caution. He had not come again. One day I woke up, I told my wife, he went somewhere and was calling my name. But they warned him that if he wants to die, he should not call my name again. Say, but Simon, I said, I saw him. Nobody needs to tell me. We went somewhere, you know, you don't think I'm guessing now. We went to buy, my boy here, Pastor Ed, wanted to buy land. To show you I'm not lying. This one is something we can cross-check. And he called me because the place was close to my side. He said, Pastor, sir, I want to buy 5 plots of land. And when I got there, I saw the place. I saw the man. My spirit told me immediately. As I shook him, I felt a wrong energy. I said, the man should be at the front and take us to the land. Because I started suspecting. He was going. And the man began to sweat. And he now asked the question, are you a pastor, sir? My boy now said, yes, he's a pastor. Sir, I don't know. You know, when you shook me, I started sweating. I've never got sweated like this in my life. I've never gotten sick for a long time. Blah, blah, blah. I don't know what is happening. Can you please pray for me? I said, no, this is embarrassing. If I shake you, you should be well. But if it seems like you are not getting well, then you are getting well actually the wrong way. That simply means this one is unto righteousness. I said, I'm not shaking you. And I told them, this guy uses diabolic things. We just broke it. I said, check the papers of this land carefully. They want to lie to you about land. He uses things to speak to people to buy wrong land. When you buy, 2 people already bought that land. They are fighting. He sold to the 2 people. He wants to sell to the 3rd person. When we check, Pastor Ed was the 3rd person they were going to sell that land to. He did not see. But when I came, I saw it. That's how millions were kept back. Imagine this man lost his million. First major investment. Now, how can you see these things? Mary said, how can these things be? Seeing that I know not a man, how can these things be? How will I have a child? You are giving me this kind of word. I'm going to have a baby. He said, I forget about that. The power of the Holy Ghost will come upon you. And everything the word I've said will become a reality. That's why Kenneth Hagin spoke about the anointing upon the anointing within. For the word to be manifested, you need the anointing upon. For works, mighty works. in the physical. And that was against that song that said, I want your heart, not your hand. As how? I want your hand. And as I want your heart, I mean. And as I carry your heart, I have your hand. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? My mother-in-law had a case too. They sold a land. And the people, they said, Pastor, be careful with that people. So they sent me there on assignment. He should be careful. Me be careful of one man that sits in one stinking place and pour kai kai. They that know their God. See, it's embarrassing to compare me with that kind of human being. I sit in the heavens. They sit in a bush in the night. A smelly bush. You know, we went for burial one time in Injila Igbila. Injila Igbila. In Oju. We climbed one mountain, the highest mountain there. They said the people are scared, so they climbed the mountain to win war those days. So we climbed the mountain for the burial. They carried the corpse to the women. If you see how people climb, people there are strong. Don't try those people. Women, they are strong people. Men, the women used to farm even on the mountain. Do you understand? On the road to the mountain, they are farming. Like, they stand like this. And they farm. They are strong people. We're climbing the mountain and trusting God. Because now, we wanted to go back. But we have gone too far to go back. So we try. We rest there. We are climbing mountain. We stay somewhere. Rest. People are even selling. People are passing and selling things. Then you buy a rest more. Then you keep on climbing. So we finally made it to the top. While we're going, we now saw some wrong buildings. So stinking to call them altars. And they say they are setting gods. So when I was pointing, they said, Pastor, you are pointing the thing. I said, that stinking thing. Why are you people careful that we are pointing that useless house? Human beings that God created in his image and likeness are bound to something stinky there that does not exist. No, they say, when you point it, your hand will not remain like this. How? Oh king, about this matter, we are not careful. So when I came, I said, I heard you sold the land that belongs to my people. I have come to collect the land back. He said, who sent you? There's no land. I said, we are going to the elders. When they spoke, they were like, trade with care. That man is into witchcraft. I said, which witchcraft? Tell him to trade with care. He should have checked me by now. He came one day, wanted to shake me and my wife. I told my wife, don't shake him. When he brought his hand, I shook it and I shook the hand very well. Because he was eager to shake me. Anytime he sees me, he wants to shake me. So that day I said, take handshake. And go and die. I heard a story of a man. They say the person killed his father. The uncle killed his father. And wanted to take the father's property in the village. So he's traveled from outside the country and came for the burial of his father in the village. And they said, don't go close to the man. Or anything the man. Don't go. The mother, everybody were protecting him from that uncle. They didn't want the uncle to. And the man said, no. His pastor has really fortified him. He said, mommy, I know your fear. Allow me to greet uncle. He's my uncle. The mother fought him. So one day the uncle came when nobody was around. And he was the only one at home. As the uncle came, he said, uncle. The uncle was bringing her and he brought hug. As he hugged uncle went home, confessed to kill the father and the rest. And uncle died. Uncle died. What you are scared of is 10 times scared of you. Satan is a liar. Let me tell you to what extent he lies. He told God, Jesus that owns the whole world, that have the whole world in his hands. He told him, if you worship me, I will give you the glory. Look at the lie. If you worship me, I will give you the glory. Look at that liar. You are talking to the man that owns the whole world. Who gave you authority? That simply means legally, Satan does not own. He stole that land. Sorry, it's like people that steal land. He stole. He's like people that stole land. That steal land. The cowards, them and the rest. Those thieves. There, Jesus. Lying. Jesus said, he did not answer him. Jesus knowing the truth. He said, thou shalt. Jesus not say, no, I worship God and God will give me. He said, no. It is written. Thou shalt worship the Lord God Almighty, and Him alone shall you serve. We don't worship God for things. We worship God because of who He is. It's embarrassing to say, God, I'm going to worship me. Give me that. It's very embarrassing. He's your Father. You can't love your Father for what He has to offer. You love your Father for who He is, and everything He has is your own. That's the problem of the prodigal son. He wanted to own what the father owned. He wanted to collect it somehow. God gave him access. He wanted ownership. He said, give me my own. Not knowing that true access is a true ownership. But he wanted separation. Give me my own. God gave him it. He left. Sometimes God love will allow you go. Because if you don't go, you will not learn wisdom very early. If the father kept on dragging with the son would have kept on being immature for a longer time, and of course what is supposed to happen would have still happened. Finally, we'll still allow the son to go. And now, to make sure that you get mature early, God will allow you to go through some certain things. Every time they say don't do it, you don't enter a wrong relationship, you are not here, don't do this, God will say, okay, allow, let them break her heart. Allow. She thinks she knows what she's doing. The guy is cute, yeah? He told her he heard God. No problem. Because some of you, it is I hear God that they used to deceive you. The guy finished praying in tongues. So, Vero, I heard the Lord. You are my wife. Thank you, Lord. And you say, wow, with these tongues, person no feel life for me. Me we no even sabi pray in tongues. People can use tongues. Imagine Judas under the influence of Jesus. Judas just come out from the 12. He was working with Jesus and just come and say, hey, Esther, I like you. We're going to talk later. You know, Jesus cannot marry, but I can marry. So we'll see it. And you fall in love with Judas that was about to betray Jesus. Then when you marry Judas, Judas now leave Jesus. Finally, you have left Jesus. Don't marry a man that will make you leave God's will for you. No. And that's why you really need to discern properly. Hear God. Say, hey, Pastor, you say hear God. How will God tell me that? God speaks. Most of you arguing is because you don't know how to hear God. He speaks to all of you every day. You know, some people say, something in my mind. It's not something. Stop embarrassing yourself. It's God Almighty. See, but I was not righteous that time. You are the one that thinks like that. A father always speaks to his son and daughter, even though they are not acting right yet. I have access to my father whether I'm acting right or wrong. At any time, he speaks to me. That does not mean he's excited about me at that point. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? Whose father here, under the sound of my voice, will allow you to die, will allow you to suffer because of you committed a sin? Then your father will say, allow treasure to die. Allow Agatha to die. Allow them, let them die. If he has an info about what is about to happen to you, he will tell you, don't go there. Even though you are acting so wrong, he will still protect you from death. That's how God is. He will protect you even when you are very stubborn. In your worst season, when you are living in sin, God still wants to protect you. Because he's your father. That doesn't mean he's excited about your present living, how you are living presently. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? That's what the Bible says. Where there is sin, grace abides even more. To the end that you leave sin finally. He loves you. He said, I will never want leave nor forsake you. Real changes in the word of God. And if you really encounter the word, then all things are yours. If you abide in me and the word abide in you. Like Daniel. Even though he didn't have the full word of God at that time, he had it in a measure. He stayed so much with the word. Stayed so much with the word. To a point, they still conspired again. Took him to the lion's den. Threw him there. The king was not okay, but he was in a tight situation. He said, everybody must bow to my God. Daniel was not bowing. He had to prove he was king. The Bible said the king came and shouted, Daniel, has your God saved you? And Daniel said, oh king, may you live forever. Look at the respect. Daniel still respected him in the gate. He said, oh king, may you live forever. My God sent an angel to block the mouth of the lion. And the king started rejoicing. And he said, I told you Daniel has no fault. His God is our God. Daniel's God is a, can you make a nation bow to your God? Chris Deva sang a song. He said, who is there like you? No one is like you. I will lead the earth to worship you. You will lead the earth to worship your generation. You will lead the earth to worship God in your schools. You will lead the earth to worship God in your places of work. Like Daniel, he led a whole nation under the reign of a king to leave their God, to abandon this what we call impact, brothers and sisters. And this is a resultant effect of the secret place. He stayed with the word. Pastor Chris said, when you stay with the word of God, you come out with a testimony. He stayed with the word. He came out untouched. Change. Daniel came out untouched by the lion. Hungry lion for month could not touch this man. And the king said, take all those people that plotted against Daniel, throw them in that lion's den. The Bible said, before they entered, the lions run and caught them and ate all of their meat. There was no bone, nothing remaining, only bones. Finish all the elders that stood against Daniel. And Daniel was now elevated to another position. Oh, thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. But you know, we have something more interesting and powerful than what the three Hebrew boys had. We have the power of the Holy Ghost. We have something more powerful than what Daniel had. We have the power of the Holy Ghost. The Bible says he has given us the Spirit without measure. They did not measure the Spirit for us. We receive the infilling presence of the Holy Ghost. The Bible says Jesus told them to tarry in Jerusalem until they've been endued with power from on high. They were filled with the Holy Ghost, and in one day they spoke diverse languages. In one day they won 3,000 in one day. That's what the Holy Ghost can do. The same Holy Ghost you have and are not winning souls. This same Holy Ghost you have and are not doing anything. Some people had it, and in one day they won 3,000 men. They evangelized to a city. A people came and kept their gods, their juju. They kept it with all the money they made from the juju business. They kept it. Kept it. The Bible said the disciples took them and burned. The power of God was so intense that a man named Simeon came to them and said, can I buy this power? My own people are running to you. Then I said, we will curse you right now. You don't buy this thing. Tell somebody you don't buy fruit of the womb. You don't buy the power of God. They say $1,500 for fruit of the womb. Run away. Tell somebody run away. $2,000 to break this curse. Run away. That's a prophet of doom, not a prophet of God. Freely you have received, freely you shall give. And see, we don't necessarily need to give you. You have received everything you need for life. The Bible said God has not just given you life. He said he has given you life in abundance. And what he calls you in the New Testament is a life-giving spirit. He said the enemy has come but to steal, kill, destroy. John 10, he said, but I am come that you will not only have life, but life in abundance. He said in 1 Corinthians 15, he said the first man is of the earth. He said, but the second man, Jesus, is the Lord from heaven. Then he said, as we bore the image of the first man, so are we bearing present continuous. So are we bearing the image of the second man. That's why Paul spoke to us in 2 Corinthians 5 and 16. Know not any man in the flesh, but every man in the spirit. Because right now, Jesus is not known in the flesh, but Jesus is now known in the spirit. So therefore, if any man be in Jesus Christ, who is in the spirit, is a what? New creation. He should be known by the order of the spirit. In the order of the spirit, it is Romans 6 and 6. The old man has been crucified to the flesh. To the cross. The old man has been crucified. The man without the Holy Spirit has been crucified back to that tree. We are no longer slaves to sin. Verse 7, our reality again. We that are dead in Christ are freed from sin. Say, I'm free. I'm free. I'm free. This is a man in the order of the Spirit. A man in the order of the Spirit cannot sin. And that's why, because of what Jesus has done, he boldly spoke to us. I know some of you were surprised the day you saw that scripture. In 1 John 3 and 9, he said, if you are born of God, Peter said to us in 1 Peter, he said, that born of God is not just like God bringing you out of his womb, but being born by the incorruptible seed of God's word. He said, if you are born of God, he said, the seed of God is in you. So Peter and John aligns together. He said, the seed, sperma, what makes God God, the DNA of God, RNA of God, is in you. The bloodstream, you know, your blood, the same blood. Jesus said, take my body. You are partakers of my kind of body. He said, take my blood. You are partakers, meaning my blood. I have your kind of blood. You have my kind of blood. Listen to me. The Bible says we have a Savior who is not ignorant of the feelings of our infirmity, yet he lived above sin. Make it, and the reason why he did that communion, that ritual of the communion, is so that you understand that I, Jesus, that is like you, I don't have a superior body than your own. Now, even if it seems like I have given you the privilege to partake of this similar body, this superior body. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? As you understand my word, my nature is your nature. My blood, my body is your body. So you can live above sin. If I live above sin, Jesus, you can live above sin. Peter, come walk upon water. I am not supposed to be. Now, what I'm doing right now is how I want you to be living. How what you see right now, Peter, is how I want humanity to be living. Because the Bible said, in him we live, breathe, and have. The Bible says, we behold Jesus like a mirror, we are being what? Transformed. So Jesus is a mirror. If he walked on water, Peter, come walk on water. Humanity, come walk on water. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? If I live above sin, humanity live above sin. Anything you see in Jesus, it's your reality. 1 John 3, 4:17. He said, we are not scared unto the day of his coming, because as he is, so are we today in this present world. Don't really liken yourself so much to, I'm not saying don't respect your culture, but don't liken yourself so much to a Yoruba, an Igbo, a thief man than a kingdom man. Jeremiah, before I formed you in your mother's womb, I had known you. And I had given you an identity. And I had given you an assignment. Don't misunderstand yourself because you came from Okpoga or from Vandika. You are bigger than where you come from. You have been called out from every tribe, people, and nation by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? So we are new beings. This is the aftermath of the glory. When you encounter the word, this is the resultant effect. You are overwhelmed by the presence of God. You wonder, oh death, where is thy sting? Paul was in that place. You know, he was caught up in this realm. When he encountered the glory, after understanding all of these things, he said, oh death, come and throw. Well, you can't even throw any shot again. Throw your best thing, oh death, where is thy sting? Oh death, where is thy sting? Meaning Satan, where is your power? In the glory you are powerless. In the glory you are powerless. The Bible says God is the light so shining in him. There is no trace of darkness. No trace of Satan. No trace of Satan in God. Because Satan has been cast away from the heavens. There is no place for him in the heavens. He's been cast away. And the Bible says, woe to the inhabitants of the earth, for the accuser of the brethren has been cast down. But we, me and you, we defeat the devil through the blood of the Lamb by the words of our testimony. Meaning, let the redeemer of the Lord. This is how we defeat Satan. I have been born of God. You boldly say, I am not like another. I'm not ordinary. I'm not like everybody on the earth. I'm a different kind of person. I'm a chosen one. I'm a son of the living God. I am in the world, not of the world. This is how you defeat the enemy. You say what God has said about you. Boldly, as you speak it, something is happening to your mind, happening to your environment. The Bible speaking, the Bible says, God, Satan was telling God, you protected everything about Job. How do we touch him? Even his cattle, even all his animals, you protect them. Even his chicken business, he's not dying because your hand is upon it. Talk less of his children. And when the earth left, everything scattered. That simply paints the possibility that God can protect everything about you, including your business. That you can start something, it will not die. Are you listening to me tonight? Hold on to God. Shout glory. When you hold on to God, you'll be a wonder to your generation. You'll be a wonder to your generation. These are not new things. These are the actual things. These are the real stuff. This is what was supposed to exist for you from the beginning. Adam did not touch it. Right now, Jesus has brought this. He has given us destiny. It is at our doorstep. We can touch it. He said, "The word of God is near you. Experience it." In Romans 10, touch it. It's your reality. Bow your heads and pray in the spirit.
I am sure you were blessed by these words of life and peace from Prophet Simon Thomas. Get transformed by the truth of God's Word by visiting and following our social media handles at Glory Carriers Ministry International, and get more messages at www.embassyofglory.com. Also, worship with us on Tuesdays by 5 p.m. and Sundays first service by 8 a.m. and second service by 10:15 a.m. at Sheraton Hotels beside Benue State House of Assembly, Mukherjee, Benue State. God bless you.